baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park.
Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious.
Hello!
I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
You are too kind.
Too honest.
Well, that should be good corn time. It's a movie.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How is this fine world treating you, Sal?
Not too bad. You know, I've been back almost a week now and getting back into the Omaha groove.
How's the how's it going back to Omaha from LA, like time-wise?
Like time-wise, I mean, usually I don't have an issue with 2-hour time difference, but I do. Usually the first day I'm driving around, I'm like, do I live here? Is this what I do? Do I have a job? Like,
yeah, you have to get kicked back in reality after like a few days. It's weird. Yeah. It's weird.
I do feel like I live in LA. Like when I'm there, I just feel like a LA-er.
You feel like you belong. Like you're part of the tribe.
Yeah. I drive like an LA person. You know.
Robert was in town a week ago, and we got to hang out and go to Piru, California, and some other cool set locations. But I will attest, you do drive like an LA person. In a good way. In a good way. Like, yeah. You're not slow. Like, where do I go? I never thought about that, but I never felt like when I hang out with you, you're an out-of-towner that... I kind of rely on you a little bit.
Yeah. Like,
you know what's going on, which is awesome.
Yeah. I do have one regret, because we, for listeners, we went up to Piru and over to Simi Valley and... Woodland Hills, doing some stepfather locations and a little bit all over the place. And I was like, oh, you know what? We were like 10 minutes away from the Friday the 13th Part 5 barn, which you can't get on the property, but you can take pictures from. Yeah, I was like,
what? Where is it?
Remember when we stopped for gas in Moore Park? It was it was literally like.
Yeah, we had where my addiction to Diet Coke started.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It is great, by the way.
It is. So, but yeah, it was 10 minutes away. So, but yeah, so the podcast still got to kind of see the Set Jetter in action. And some of the things I talk about always come true. Like, I can guarantee the house we were going to, I'm like, that's the owner coming home at the same time. That, yeah.
And it happened. We were, it was, was that for Stepfather 3?
That was for Within. I was like,
that's right. It was for Within.
I think they turned in front of us. And I'm like, I bet you that's the homeowner. I can guarantee.
Oh yeah, and the Joe Beth Williams, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're shooting a location from Within, and just as Robert predicted, the homeowner came in, and not only did they open up the garage, messing up the shot and get in, but they had like 3 kids. I don't know what was going on, but it took like 10 minutes for them to get from the car to the house while in the garage.
Yeah.
It was like, I made a joke like there should be a sketch about this.
There
where
is.
It's like all of a sudden like a helicopter lands and it's just. Aliens come down. It's just crazy.
It is. And I'm never going back to that location. I'm like, this is it. You know, like if I didn't hit it today, I'm not going back. So
yeah. Yeah, totally. We did the house from Hitchcock. That
yes.
The Ed Gaines kind of flashback.
We you got to see. Yeah, it was like, do I go on this cow path to
I just need to explain this to the listener. So Robert's a completist. There's no location he cannot find and nor will not do. So there's this house that was in the movie Hitchcock during some kind of flashback scene, and it's in Piru, and it's off of like the main road, in it literally like a honey field, like a honey farm. It looks like a vineyard.
Yeah.
And Robert gets off. We're in the car, and he drives. And this is not an SUV. This is a car. You know, this isn't a 4-wheeler. Into like the vineyard. It was like a little dirt path, like a cow path almost. And you get and we're like. A foot away from like a crevice where if we landed in there, you would need a tow truck to get it out. And it was like it was kind of scary. It was getting like a little sweaty, but it was a lot of fun.
Usually I was like, should we go? Whatever. And I think you said, yeah, do it. I'm like, all right, that's all I needed. Yeah.
And Piru, California, which I was only familiar with Lake Piru. That little town is amazing. They filmed so many things there and that bridge and That was really a cool find.
Yeah, it's a nice little place, and they, like you said, they're most made for movies now. Most was going for Dark Knight of the Scarecrow update and Sweet 16, but obviously they filmed Twilight Zone, the movie there, Cobra, was it A War of the Worlds?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
I can't believe that was the bridge in War of the Worlds. Talk about good set decoration.
Yeah, well, I think they walked across that bridge, and they're kind of going the other way and whatever, and then for the... They used a different spot. It was supposed to be right next to the ferry, which is a completely somewhere else. I'm not sure where, but
yeah.
But it is kind of strange how they choose. Like, literally, you can't see too much of the background. Like, this could be anywhere. This could be Universal Park right. Lot, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I know most of War of the Worlds was shot in, like, Bayonne, New Jersey. And it's just so random that they shot that here with all those locations or all those extras in that town, you know.
Yeah.
And then the Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Big holiday.
Yeah, I Am the Night. Yeah, so much.
So much. I'm curious what the residents of Pyro were like.
I don't.
there wasn't a lot, but I did get that vibe, like that Children of the Corn, like you're being watched. What are you doing here?
Yeah, they do look. Oh, I used a Halloween 3 line, people. Like in a fishbowl.
We did get the house in that was used in the Twilight Zone, the movie, 1983. Yeah. And I did see the other house. The other one he shot, I didn't realize that was the house that Scatman Crothers goes to, like his next assignment.
Yeah,
kind of thing,
yep, at the end.
Which is like a block away. It looks different. Were those trees knocked down?
Yeah, so it used to, they kind of, that house has been redone. Actually, we were there, one of my trips, they were redoing it because I remember it was cleared out and they didn't totally gut it out, but they were starting to take it to the bare bones.
And it's kind of like a boarding house now.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that we went along on that trip. I'm starting to get to hang out with you much after. It turned out to be a kind of a crazy week at work where we were like launching like a new site and it got kind of maddening. But I'm really grateful that we got to go on that trip. And I feel like you knew a lot of those locations from the back of your hand. You were kind of like, oh, we go here. You didn't have like a map or anything out. You knew like,
well, I had my GPS. I mean, like I for Pyro is not that big to kind of say, oh, let's go here. And we were gonna go look for, they were filming something, it looked like at the lake. I can't remember what the crew signs were called, but I was like, should we go follow? And they're like, nah, I give up.
It was fun.
And you found a baseball field.
Yes, I found a baseball field, which I've been looking for years, which is great. And I think it was cool that it just goes to show you that how funny like geographical locations are in movies. Stepfather 3, the opening scene in that that neighborhood is somewhere completely different than the other house. And there's no need to do that, but it's just, it works.
Yeah, I was kind of doing an update because somebody asked a few weeks ago about something about Stepfather 3. And I'm like, you know what? I really haven't done too much on, I mean, I haven't looked at it in a while, so. Yeah. But yeah, that film in particular, usually they have kind of a base camp and they're kind of within that 15-mile zone, but they shot in Simi Valley and Chatsworth and Monrovia and all of it. It's weird that they weren't near anything. So
yeah, it was. It was off the beaten, like the kind of where the other ones are. And I don't remember if it was Stepfather 2 or Stepfather 3, but there was one location we went to. And it was a motel that was super seedy that we pulled in. I think he took a picture. I don't remember, but we just left.
I didn't because I was like, oh, I didn't get a good picture of the pool last time I was there.
Right.
And we pulled in. The pool is gone. And that's why I was like, I couldn't quite figure out what was going on. And yeah, people were like, what? We got some weird looks. So it was
guy was mad dogging us. There was like security in the parking lot in the day. I'm like, why do you need security? Nope.
Yeah. And this was the middle of like Chatsworth, wasn't it? You know, it was like,
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
Not a sketchy area, but
no,
strange.
It was super random. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So we're listening to Set Jetter Saturdays with Robert Patterson, the creator of the website setjetter.com. And we have a wonderful show tonight. We're going to get into kicking off with what you've been watching. Robert, I think we should start with you. I'm very curious to, all the things I've been watching are old. So.
Gotcha. Well,
I have nothing new and exciting except for Stranger Things.
Oof. I'm just kidding. I'm
curious what you're watching.
The Boys just finished its season. So I don't know if you watch. Do you watch that? Or,
I did. I didn't. I haven't watched the latest. I watched the first one and just haven't continued yet.
So it usually keeps it going and enough to. It hasn't. It's not reinventing itself, but it has a good momentum going, and I kind of like what they're doing with it. And they still kind of surprise me every season with it, like, whew, this is gory. So
yeah.
So that a pretty decent finale. Westworld, I am giving a try, and
me too. That is the one new thing I've been watching. I'm trying.
Season 4 seems to be better than season 3 so far. It's not in utter ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Yet, I guess.
You know what it is? Westworld. And I'm watching season 3 as well. I'm almost done that because I didn't really finish that. And I've watched the both new episodes. The thing that makes Westworld so exciting is it's kind of like Jurassic Park for robots. And the park goes wild. But now they're like assimilating into regular society. It's just becoming like another weird sci-fi drama, and it kind of doesn't feel like Westworld anymore. I get it, you have to evolve and do different things, but like, I miss season 1 and 2 where you're at the park and that was like the premise that was like I thought really cool.
Yeah, and maybe it's too pedestrian of me to think that, you know what, they alluded to, like, you know, was it Shogun World or I can't remember, and the attorney's like, yeah, let's start branching out to the other parks first. To kind of see how those things are mirrored, but until they just kind of went really kind of up its own hole to over and over again. I was like, I don't know what's going on, but and because of that, I did, obviously I've been to Warner Brothers many, many times, but I'm like, oh, I need to get some new shots now that Evan Rachel Wood lives in New York on Hennessy Street. I was I was like, you didn't really even dress it up that much.
Even I know that. I'm just come on, guys.
Yeah, you could do better than that. So
I know.
It was funny. So I took that tour, and then I was at the Hollywood show the next day, and some guy stopped me. He's like, you were on our tour. And I'm like, what? Like, I have zero memory. Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah.
You got recognized.
I get recognized. Yeah, actually, I got recognized a couple times. Yeah, some Australian guy. I was like, are you the set jetter? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
Well, like, deserved.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am the set jetter. I'm curious how the new world is, spoiler alert, the 30s world kind of thing. Kind of like that genre, so I think I'm interested.
It looks like it should be fun. I like the look of it, and then so I went to the set when they still had all the 20s, 30s stuff, but they didn't have lights up anymore. But when I was talking to the guy, he said it looks pretty great. It looked pretty great at night when they had all the marquees and
oh, that was a real sides. That was a practical set.
Yeah, that was at Melody Ranch. Yeah, so they built it. It's on Western Street, but they just built it literally 4 inches in front of the Western facades. So it's the same exact street. But
oh wow,
yeah,
that's cool. You got to see that. It wasn't CGI then. That was a real set.
Yeah. So mostly, obviously, the extensions I'm sure are kind of CGI. But yeah, he said they kind of built it all. And then, so I have some pictures on my Facebook. I'm not allowed to publish anything yet.
You got to wait till the season's out there.
Yeah, I'll wait before so they don't get mad at me. But in case
just make sure you post it on your website, but then make it private so that when it does go live, you can say it was published on an earlier date. So no phonies can be like, I found it first.
I found that, yeah. One thing I didn't do is because I did find the ranch from Nope. But I didn't venture to go out there, and I should have because the film's coming out in a couple of weeks. So,
yeah, you did mention that. I think that's really cool. You would have found that,
but we'll see. Yeah, but we'll see if it's even worth.
We were watching. What are these other things that you watch? Oh, Physical. Oh. We visited the bank in that.
Oh yeah. was a little sketchy last time I was at that bank, but it seemed to be okay this time. So it's like a random bank on. Well, it's right in
by the Warner Center.
By the Warner Center and stuff like that, and not used for anything, I think, except for films. So I'm glad we got to spend some time there.
Oh yeah.
I've been watching Mind Over Murder. It's a Nebraska murder mystery, of course, on HBO. So it's just a
place in Nebraska.
Yeah, Beatrice, Nebraska. So
oh yeah.
So I've been watching the they're just released an episode a week. And then I did a revisit to Octopussy since I met a couple of the Octopussy girls women, I guess now, at Hollywood Show.
Did you say things like, well, pushy, yes, you will?
You know, it was interesting because I did ask, because like if you remember Octopussy, the one gal in particular, I remember she does this, she ties her scarf and she flips over and just twirls down, you know, to the car to escape or whatever. And I was saying, I said, I assume that's a stunt woman. And she goes, actually, no, the stunt woman wasn't there that day. And they just asked me to do it.
And oh, talk about a liability.
And she said, I found out later the reason that someone wasn't there because she was suing Broccoli for something. she goes, but you know, it's, you're young and stuff like that. So, but yeah.
Yeah,
so,
that's yep. Cool.
Both of them were in Octopussy. She was kind of the second lead, I guess, to Maud Adams. And
I knew you were talking about. Yeah.
The other gal, she's been in both Bond films, but and she was in View to a Kill. She was in the opening scene. She was the gal on the iceberg.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So
I actually like A View to a Kill a lot.
Oh, I love those Octopussy and View to a Kill are a couple of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good.
The Hollywood Show was kind of fun. I mean, it's always get something good out of it.
Yeah, you do always find something fun. Whether it's Eddie Deason or...
I was most tickled by Jackie Joseph was there from Gremlins. She plays Mrs. Is it Futterman?
Oh, yeah.
And she
and Gremlins, like, one, too.
Yeah, and I was like, one, I didn't even know she was still alive.
Yeah,
And she was, so of course I said, you got the thingy. She's made that out to me, so I was excited.
Oh, that's so cool.
But she was really sweet.
I feel like you should have your own booth at the Hollywood Show.
One day. No.
Definitely.
I parked right next to Jimmy Walker. We both pulled up at the same time.
Did you really?
Yeah. But that's kind awesome. That's kind of an LA thing, though, you know.
Yeah.
That's like more often than not.
Yeah, and you kind of just get it at that point.
Yeah. What have you been watching?
Okay, so I watched Obi-Wan Kenobi. I finished that. Jaws, 47th anniversary. I rewatched all the Jaws except for the Revenge. I just won't do that to myself. I'm just not going to do it.
Oh, Carl Gottlieb was there, and so I had him sign my Jaws 3, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't seem to... He said something weird. I said, I love Jaws 3, and he's like, there's something for everyone. Like,
he wrote Jaws 3 too, right?
Yeah, or co-wrote or something like that. So as out of all of them, I was going to have him. He's like, great, one of those. He also apparently wrote Caveman.
Oh, Ringo Starr.
Yeah. And I said, oh, I didn't know, you know, whatever. And then I don't think he probably didn't appreciate me. I'm like, not too much dialogue in that.
No, not too much dialogue in Caveman.
And he actually repeated some of the words that they used, which I can't remember now. But anyway.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's a good time.
He wasn't overjoyous to the fans.
Yeah. Was he kind of curmudgeon-y?
Not quite, but the whole Jaws 2 cast was there too, and I didn't really bother. The Hollywood Show is getting very expensive. Like, you really have to pick and choose who you want to.
Oh, they want a lot of money for photos and stuff.
Yeah, photo, like sometimes photos alone, without an autograph, are just $40. I was like, oof. But
they don't pay those folks to be there, right?
No, it's up to them to make money. So Hollywood Show doesn't. There's a few at bigger horror conventions. They do have X amount. Like, they either make 10,000, or if they make 9,000, they kick it another 1,000 too. Like, they have minimum quotas.
Because I know
for some people,
I know Marty York does shows, and a lot of them they'll give the members of the Sandlot like $10,000 because they know that, I guess they do it like on rotation. They know that they're going to get this many people for this much money. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with the Hollywood Show, there's so many more people there. I mean, when I talk about Marty, it's like the Sandlot and like maybe one other like movie, but something that big, they probably can't afford to pay them all a lot of money because tickets are like pretty inexpensive, right?
Yeah. Tickets again are cheap. And, but yeah. And most of these people I think are just kind of in town. So they probably just drive from Studio City and.
Right. Yeah.
Teresa Ganzel from The Toy.
You were excited about that.
They're propellers.
Propellers.
I'm sure it's just an electrical malfunction. Yeah.
That's funny. The Jaws 2 kids, I think, are on some kind of tour because a buddy of mine, unrelated to the Hollywood Show, is going to Shark Hunt in Florida. And he's like, I'm really excited to see the Jaws 2 kids. And I was like, oh, they must be doing like a circuit because I've never seen them like advertised anywhere else until this year.
They do kind of all come together, and there's a couple I was like, oh, and like I feel like if I'm gonna do one, I should do them all. And then I was just like, I don't care about any of you all enough to.
I don't know, if, except for the one guy with the curly hair. I don't know if I'd recognize any of them. Was Keith Gordon there?
No. A couple of the gals looked pretty good. I mean, for, you know, really? Obviously they were, what was that, 90, was that 76? 76, I can't remember.
77. Yeah, 78, I think.
So it's been a while, and some have aged pretty well. But sometimes they were teen, 20s and at the time, and
yeah,
people just don't look the same. Like are, you could be anybody.
Was the girl that was like, shh,
yeah, so she was there, and she looks pretty good. She was the one I almost decided I was going to get a picture with, but I didn't. Oh, Tom Skerritt was there.
Oh, that's cool.
I got him on a Friday, and he was cheap at the time. I don't know if he's really done conventions or kind of understood how it all
was. It like $5 and a handshake will get Tom Skerritt?
Literally, I was like, they had no prizes or anything, and I think when on Friday he didn't really have a couple photos. I can't remember. A lot of people were bringing stuff to him, and I said, oh, I just want a photo, you know. And they're like, okay, that'll be 15. And they're like, oh, just give me 10. Like, I was like, oh, like for convention world,
that's cheap.
Yeah, and for Tom Skerritt, he can charge whatever he wants, you know.
Of course, he's Tom Skerritt. He's a icon. Are the folks that are the actors and the celebs responsible for their own like booth? Like what's there? Because I'm wondering if people show up half-assed, like with nothing. I don't know.
Yeah, usually they have like Sean Clark is a manager of, and so usually they help supply them with photos and what to bring and kind of get them situated for the most part. But, and for the bigger ones, they usually have a handler. So you're not giving the star money. Thanks. Here's your money for talking to me. You know, like,
yeah, right.
So it feels a little bit, others don't. And so it is kind of like, well, it's great to meet you. You too. Here's money for your time.
Hey monkey, here's $100. Go wash my car. Okay. I've always wanted to abuse Cameo. Because there's like some sad cases on there. For $50. It's like, I'll give you $1,000 if you like moon a McDonald's employee today just to see.
Some of them Eddie Deason would do it.
Oh, no. I'm just kidding. I wish I was at the stage of my life I could be on Cameo making money for taking cell phone videos. So I'm not knocking that at all.
You could try.
It's pretty bad. But that's exciting, though.
Yeah. So out of the Jaws, I mean, did they all hold up pretty well?
Except for the first one, none of them really hold up. I mean, Jaws 2 is okay. It still has Roy Scheider in it and Lorraine Gary. So
yeah,
it's on Amity Island. It's in kind of the same spirit. But I mean, Jaws 3 is just like one of the worst movies ever. You know, you like, I mean, I enjoy the movie. I watch it every year.
Jaws 3.
I do too. It's just bad. That shark, the size of the shark is a school bus and it's just so disproportionate. I mean, I watch it every year. I'm a fan of the whole franchise. It's just funny. I do love SeaWorld though. I don't love SeaWorld, the actual place. I love that SeaWorld let them film there.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
Lou Gossett. Oh yeah, he was at a Hollywood show a couple times. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I think I asked him about Jaws 3, and he really had no response to that. So, okay, so I think Jaws was his follow up to winning the Oscar for Officer and Gentleman.
Oh yeah.
It's always kind of the supporting Oscar curse where you followed up with Catwoman or whatever it happens to be. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think I remember I tweeted out one time. I don't blame SeaWorld of not promoting the fact they were in Jaws 3. And SeaWorld actually replied, we may or may have not used that in a few of our tweets in the past. And I was like, you guys have a good social media.
Well, good for them. So yeah. That's the least of their concerns now.
But yeah, no, Jaws, obviously the original is a classic. I do enjoy the other ones, even Jaws 3. I have also been watching Westworld. I finished Stranger Things. And you know, I've been watching The Twilight Zone, the original run again.
What are you watching it on?
Tubi? No, Pluto.
Okay, I don't have Pluto.
But... it's another free thing. Yeah. I think I downloaded just for the the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
I was itching to watch it. I couldn't find it anywhere, so I just searched it, and they have the first two seasons. So,
nice.
But yeah, they're always fun. A fun revisit.
I do like them. So
they still have the cigarette ads in there.
Oh, do they? That's kind of fun.
Like that Rod Serling does, because it was kind of part of the show. So he's like, make sure that you choose Oasis cigarettes. You'll know what I'm talking about. We'll see you next week, where we go to another place where everybody disappears.
I guess he's always smoking anyway, so might as well.
Yeah, apparently when he died at 50, which I'm not surprised, because he smoked like 4 packs a day. But apparently I heard when he was like, you know, in his downward health spiral in the hospital, he was having cigarettes like snuck into the hospital room. He was like
surprised.
Really nonstop. Every second of every day had a cigarette. Yikes.
Speaking of, so for some reason I was referring to Jackie Joseph, like, oh, she was like the old lady and Mrs. Futter, you know, and Gremlins. I'm like,
yeah.
How old? I think I'm older than she was at the time. I was like, oh, God.
You were,
but at the time, you know.
Well, and also at that time, even in the 80s, even in the 90s, people looked older than they were.
They did.
You know, you look at some of those Twilight Zone, they're like age 32, and you're like, that guy looks like he's 60 by today.
I'm 22. I'm like, that's obviously a 36-year-old woman. Like, what? Like
a 36-year-old woman. But it's funny. But yeah. So we've got a good segment tonight, Robert. This is Summer of 82. These are summer movies that were released in the year 1982. And talk about a powerful list.
It
is. What a great summer.
I was 12 years old, and when I think of kind of the golden times of cinema, I'm like, can you imagine if we had a summer like, so we just picked 10 of them. If these 10 level of films were released, for the most part, I should say. Yeah.
I mean, truly, if you think about it, my 12th summer was Jurassic Park. Is 93, and that was the movie I saw 6 times, and I loved it. But there was really nothing else going on that summer that I can remember that was like worth seeing. And then you look at this list that we're about to get into. Talk about a powerhouse.
Yeah,
and I bet you saw every one of these in the theater.
And I did not. I'll tell you which ones I did and didn't, obviously, at the time, because I was 12, and so some things were not appropriate until cable a year later.
Right.
Cable at a friend's house, you know.
Yeah. And what's the first one on this list?
The first one I put was Poltergeist, because out of everything, that's just, if there's a movie that really holds up for me, this will be the 40th anniversary. I guess we pick Summer of 82 because it'll be 40 years, which is crazy to think.
There he is.
So, actually I did not see this in theater because I was still a wimp at the time. But I remember I watched it as soon as it came on HBO, and I still holds up for me. We actually visited the house.
Yeah, together. We did. We went there when Robert was here, and I got a picture in front of it. And I have to tell you, I've gotten so many like comments and messages from when you tagged me in that, more than I have with like other stuff in LA. Like people are like, "Oh my gosh, that's so cool," and I was like, "Yeah, it is," you know. And it was like really like, "Oh my gosh, this is like people I haven't really spoken to in like years that I'm still friends with on social media."
Just coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah. I was like, I gotta do more set jets with Robert. That really boosted my streak.
It makes me popular. Yeah.
It made me popular. Speaking of popular, real quick, not related to 82, I rewatched the Brady movies, including a very Brady sequel. They're still so good, man. They're still so much fun. Marsha's so much more mean. I forgot in a Brady sequel. Where it's just like, well, I'm the prettiest, so I'll talk first. Jan, that sounds completely made up. Like, you're lying. Like, for whatever reason, she became, like, mean. And it worked.
Yeah, Brady, I think the Brady Bunch movie, that just, they got it all kind of right.
There. Oh, yeah, there's no complaints.
And I do, the very Brady sequel is not as, like, they did kind of amp it up a little bit. Like, oof, you know, and they, not say questionable, you know, the Greg, Marsha, will they, won't they?
Yeah. That was uncomfortable, to be honest.
Yes, Greg.
Yes, Greg. And then like the 70s porn music for the silhouettes. I'm like, come on. But I do love, I do like that they amped up Gary Cole. And when Alice is making the, it's like, you know, generic lard, and she's just like bushing it with her hands. I'm like, this is so gross. But it's like what they did.
Yeah, no, oh, absolutely.
So, anyway, I'm sorry.
No, I and we still quote, I'm like, I still like the Jan, they're like, what am I, invisible? I had that idea 2 days ago.
George Glass is coming over.
And I still, every once in a while, like, I'll be leaving, I'm like, bye, Bobby. He's like, she takes off her glasses. And
can I sit on your lap? I still think Christine Taylor, you couldn't have cast a perfect Marsha.
It ever. Was... Yeah, she seems more Marsha than Marsha.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, she nailed it.
Yeah.
And Maureen McCormick. Yeah,
I still love that whole thing. She's like, cut my hair.
Oh. A menage a trois. Okay, I'm sorry.
I thought you were from Nebraska.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. It's just, I love those movies. I do. I'm such a fan. The first one, though, hands down, is tremendous.
Alana Ubach, she was in that. Was she in the sequel? I don't think she was. I can't remember. But yeah, she was in the Hollywood Show again. So no. She's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. She is great. No, she wasn't in the sequel. I didn't like the guy. I forget who played him. Was it the guy from Animal House?
Oh, with the bright blue eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good looking guy. But he was just like, I don't know. There was a weird angle because he comes into the house and he's under disguise, but then he like goes out with them and is doing the dance, and like it wanted to be funny with him. Yeah. He's just like, I didn't really care for his whole thing. They could have done great without him, but
yeah.
But
and then they did make what's the Brady's go to the White House? Oof.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
It is. You can probably get through about 5 minutes of it, and you're like, that's how bad it is. So
nobody else is like Gary Cole's not in it or anything.
For some reason, I thought the parents are in it, but not the kids. But it is like too hard to get through. It was made for TV or something like that.
Pretty good. Okay, so Poltergeist. Yes. That's a true good. That's a great 82 summer movie. E.T., which biggest movie of all time when this came out.
Nothing was like it.
No, he really couldn't do it anything like that. How do you say the guy's name in there? Is it Peter Coyote?
I thought it was Coyote, but
Coyote. Peter Coyote.
That's the way I've always said it.
Was he the guy that was Harrison Ford was supposed to play?
I don't know.
Okay.
It might make sense because what was he supposed to Keys? I think he was just referred to as Keys.
Keys.
In the film, so it would make sense. I don't know who else Harrison Ford would play.
Yeah,
but
I guess I don't think he would.
He would have. I think it worked because I mean Dee Wallace was kind of known, but everybody it works better with unknowns.
Yeah, definitely.
Thrust into this adventure. So
I rewatched that too. You posted about that. It was the 40th anniversary this past month, last month.
Yeah,
and it's a great movie. It really is cinemagic.
It does. It's when I look at some of these, I mean, they were PG. This is well before PG-13, but each of these had some scary moments, including E.T. I remember the first cornfield, you know, like when you had the flash. I mean, that was scary in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Before you knew what was going on.
Yeah. And even the scenes with the scientists that come in from NASA and they're putting him in like tubes and that's disturbing as a kid. That creeped me out as a kid.
And emotional, you know? And I don't know how many crying kids and adults and
yeah. I cried when I saw that as a kid. Not when it first came out. I was one, not even. But
just rub it in.
No,
he hates Mexico. It's always these random lines that I have.
I love the random lines. What's the toy in E.T.? Is it the speak and spell? Like the digital one.
I can't remember. I think it is.
I was wondering if did you have those like as a kid?
I was a little old for that by the time they came out, so no. But they were a thing. I think it was a speak and spell. So at Universal they used to have that prop somewhere on the E.T. ride, and I think they realized that. I think the speak and spell was the actual prop.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah, I think I read somewhere that people were like, what? That's like an important
the actual piece. Prop in the movie
yeah,
was
the
used?
Actual. Yeah, I think the actual speak and spell or something.
Oh, yeah, they probably should have.
Because remember, the ride, you'd go through the thing and see it and stuff like
that. Yeah, yeah.
I thought I remember reading that somewhere.
That and was I a good still, ride, actually.
I still haven't forgiven Universal for closing down that ride.
That and Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's, Simpsons
Come
are
on, guys. Imagine coming out with that today. If they're like, yo, they're doing a Back to the Future ride, you'd be like, that's great. Like, yeah. Why would we get rid of that? And Jaws?
At least they haven't got rid of Jaws. They got rid of Jaws, Florida.
Yeah, but that's
what I mean. Fast and Furious.
Oh, gosh.
Oof.
I'm not even going to mention
I know
how bad that is.
It is. I think some people are like, did they stop taking people on? I'm like, please, no.
Right. And when they, they're just pushing that down your throat.
They are.
Okay. So, yeah, E.T. is a classic from the summer of 82.
It is. Maybe
the summer movie.
Next is Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
The Wrath of Khan.
Which, obviously, Star Trek, the motion picture, or the, slow motion picture, they would call it. They had something else they would call it. But obviously, this was a kind of getting it right, turning it kind of to more action. Nicholas Meyer kind of did a good job. So it kind of set the stage for future Star Treks and good format. And it was a good film. It still is a good film.
Yeah, and they made it after, they upped the game from Star Trek the movie. That was still billed as Star Trek the movie?
The motion picture. That's why they call it the slow motion picture, because it's...
Yeah.
Creaky.
Right, right. Yeah, it's...
Teacher wants to know carbon units.
I like when they do Star Trek the motion picture or Superman the movie, you know, like for the first one. Like, they need to remind people back in the 70s it's a movie.
It was.
My favorite. So much merchandise.
Sequels, like Jaws 3D had all new. Because they had to tell people this is actually new footage. This is not...
Right, yeah.
Redone films.
Yeah, this is new. This is brand new. Not just made for 3D. Yeah.
Speaking of, I think the next one so every once in a while, I think it was called Annie the Movie. I think I've seen that some places. So
oh, really? Knew.
Well, because it was like, this is not the stage play, yeah.
Yeah, this isn't the musical.
Yeah.
Annie. Pippi Longstocking's wishes that she could be as good as Annie. it's still a great movie. Surprised that's a summer movie, but I guess it makes sense. Kids are out of school. You're going to take them to see Annie.
Yeah.
So it works.
Pretty family friendly, but it's still a good film. I think the cast, I mean, obviously Aileen Quinn is Annie and Carol Burnett as Miss Hannigan.
Great job.
Yeah, everybody was kind of, I think, perfectly cast. All you have to do is look at the, I guess the Annie's are, but I know they did another version where I think Kathy Bates played Mrs. Hannigan. It was like a TV movie or sequel.
Oh.
And then, of course, Annie, the Auditune movie.
Oh. Ouch.
That's so stale. Here's the thing. I love Rose Byrne and Cameron Diaz, but it is, I don't know if you've sat through any of it. But
yeah, after we talked about it on one of those Does It Still Hold Up, I watched maybe like 30 minutes of it, and I think I told you, like, I can't.
How did this get greenlit? I don't know. But Annie still holds up. They shot some, I think, in Jersey. If I remember, I think the train where Annie's climbing the...
Oh, I could see that.
I think that was in Jersey. So,
yeah.
But I think it was mostly East Coast. But, of course, Hennessy Street and Warner Brothers for a lot of the orphanage scenes.
Yes. It's a hard knock life. Annie is an interesting summer movie. It's a great movie. Number five is, I'm not familiar with this one, Robert. Friday the 13th, part 3?
You may not. In 3D, so.
In 3D.
In 3D. So, yeah, this will be, August will be the 40th anniversary for this movie.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
Jason gets his hockey mask.
Yeah, 40 years ago next month. How did Friday the 13th, part 3 do theatrically?
Very well. That,
yeah, it made its money back.
Because I think at this point they also thought this would be the last one, and made enough money that they said, oh, okay, we'll do one more. But this also helped kick off the 3D craze for 1983D.
Yeah.
With Amityville and Jaws and Treasure of the Four Crowns and all that stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, no, it's that makes sense. And of course, we love this movie. We've talked about it a lot. You've been to the barn. It's my favorite Friday the 13th. He gets the mask. It's iconic.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Debbie Allen, Shelley's dead. It's like you dropped the casserole. Oh, my God.
That's what she's saying to myself. Oh, my God.
It's all over the floor. I have a question for you. This is from a user on Twitter or YouTube or something that listens to our show. But they listened to the show about, we talked about the greatest Friday the 13th posters. And they said, why do they take the knife out of the mask in 4?
Oh, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. They've had different versions.
I'd ask you. Yeah. I've never seen this happen. What do they do? They remove it?
I think there's just different photos that they use. So I've seen. So sometimes there's a knife or machete. I guess it's a knife through the eye hole of the mask. And usually it's flipped. So they reverse the photos because the axe cut is like on the wrong spot or something like that. But aesthetically, it looked better one way or the other. But I'm not sure if they actually took it out or if they're just using different photos where some of the photos it wasn't in.
I love that you know that. I thought if anyone knew, you would, and I didn't know the answer.
That wasn't even on the poster. So
really?
No, that was more like videos and stuff like that.
Oh, you're right. The original was not.
Original was just words and the title.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
It wasn't until part 6, I think, where U.S. posters actually had any type of hockey mask on it. So
that's true, because 5 doesn't have. It's not the one. The blockbuster VHS thing that you remember seeing as a kid.
The weird non-hockey mask. Like, come on, you can at least get this.
Yeah.
Just what it looks like.
Just do it. Good. Thanks for answering that, though. I had no idea what to say. So I was like, I'll ask Robert.
Yeah. I don't think they photoshopped. Obviously, it was pre-photoshopped, but I think they just had different variations of it. So.
Yeah. No, that's good. Good to know. 6 is Blade Runner, which you've covered, Robert.
A little bit. So I've been to a couple locations, and not necessarily one of my favorites, but is some of my friends' favorites. So I'm glad they enjoy it. But it's also held up as the not the first kind of dystopian future, but the effects still hold up very well.
Yeah, they do. The Neo Los Angeles kind of city choking on its own tech. It holds up.
It all came true.
It's very realistic today. We can't breathe. Number 7 is Rocky 3. It's a tough one with the beach scenes. Nobody acts that way. They just you're not training for a fight. You don't go splashing in the water. I love the franchise.
I did see this in the theater.
Did you really?
For a birthday party, yeah. I'd never seen any Rocky, but you know, Mr. T was a big. At the time, was getting hyped up as like, So it was my first Rocky and first Rocky in a theater.
It's really that's amazing that you got to see that theatrically.
Yeah, that's why
it's the first Rocky that's glossed up. You know, the first two are kind of independent looking movies, even though they're not. It's very like Hollywood 80s glossed up.
Yeah, they knew it was made. I say not made for audiences, but you know, they knew it made for box office.
My friend Vince has a problem with the scene, and I kind of agree with him, where he's on the steps of the art museum saying he's retiring, and Mr. T shows up and starts like saying, insulting his wife and coming up there. Nobody would really just stand there and be like, oh yeah, I don't want to fight. If you're a fighter, you're kind of already pent up with rage, and somebody starts saying they want to sleep with your wife, you're gonna like at least say the F word to him. You know what I mean?
He's PG. Like, oh, I'm retiring.
Yeah, and Mr. T. I don't know. It's funny. But
it's movie world where people are just waiting around for your dialogue to start until the camera starts rolling. Like, what were you doing right before this? You know, like. Right. You brought me all the way to these steps to tell me this? You could have told me at home.
Yeah, you could have told me at home. It's fine. What's the next one, sir?
The Thing. And I'm actually wearing a The Thing shirt today.
Oh, that is such a sweet shirt.
It is nice.
That is a cool shirt.
So most people know The Thing did not do well during its initial run. But it's an summer of 82, and now it's regarded as one of John Carpenter's classics.
I would even say it regarded as a horror classic of all time, I think, with a lot of people. I'll watch it every October, at least, maybe one other time a year, but I can't get enough of it. I even like the prequel, and people didn't really care.
I love the prequel. I do.
You did?
I do love the prequel. I do wish they... I know they messed CGI'd with it, because I think they were doing mostly practical. So I think they might have messed it up a little bit too much. But I liked how, for the most part, I like what they did, because it all led back up to the moment the thing started in the original movie. And I'm like, oh, and they brought the music back and the kind of flashes to black and so forth. And so I thought that was just perfect. There's no way, to me, no other way to do it. And I know, I think they could do another reboot, but I was like, I don't know. It's of its time, so I don't know if the thing in 2022 with technology would work versus, I don't know.
That's what I think. I think if they did the sequel in 2011 or whenever it came out, you would have been like, well, can't they just call in like Apache helicopters and like the internet's here and, you know, but the fact they did a prequel, I'm like, this is like the only way they can do it.
Yeah.
Just to show what led up to it.
So
and
I like
it worked.
And it made a great PS2 game many years later.
Did it really?
Oh, yeah. They did a pretty good for a PS2 version of recreating the camp and everything. And you had to find the recorders and see who was who's been taken over. And yeah, it's one of my favorite PlayStation 2 games. Yeah. Well worth it.
I'm going to buy it. I had $17 here. I'm getting it.
Do it.
Yeah. I still have PS2 is the only game system I have aside from Nintendo.
Is it? Yeah.
I don't buy video games anymore, really.
Why bother? Yeah. So.
Yeah, right. But no, that's exciting.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Next on the list is summer of 1982 is Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Such a quotable, iconic, fun movie. Some of it wouldn't be done today, obviously.
But most of it, I think. I don't...
You really can't do a movie like that today. But because it was in 82, we get away with it. What do you think about Fast Times?
I like it. There's some people that are really into it. And I've been to a couple of locations, but I don't go to the nth degree of going to the water fountain and stuff like that. So I like it. And at the time, you know, as a 12-year-old, yeah, that was pretty risque, you know, between that and Porky's and films like that.
That is risque for a 12-year-old.
Yeah. And that was, so it was a big deal to a true rated R movie. My favorite moment, though, is still, it's not even a line. And kids now won't get it. So I mean, they make Ditto machines and whatever, the kind of purple print or whatever. And so it might have been Mr. Hand's class. I think he hands them out, and every kid puts up the paper and sniffs it. So because you would just kind of had that smell, not to get you high.
It had that smell.
Yeah. And now I don't think, I wonder if kids even know what's going on when they see all the kids like sniffing the paper. Anyway, I loved it.
They don't get it. They wouldn't get it.
No, they wouldn't. Yeah. The right age people get it. So.
Right. The question that the world has, Robert, is this mini mart right here in Fast Times on your website.
Oh, yeah.
Santa Monica Boulevard.
Is that what it says?
Yeah. Was this a 7-Eleven or something? Or was this a real?
I think it was a 7-Eleven at the time or something like that. And now I think it was. Is it a car place now or something?
Car
like
place.
That? But, yeah.
Yeah,
but
I encourage listeners to go to setchair.com.
I think that hospital might be torn down already. I'm not sure.
Yep, unfortunately, it has now been demolished.
Okay, so there's another unfortunately. So,
unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I got there just in time. Yeah, so
yeah,
I went to like the abortion clinic and all those places to not the best part of town from what I remember, but it's like, hey, I need to. Yeah, so I guess I went to more locations than I thought.
Yeah, you did quite a bit. Bowling alley. Great job on this page, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay, so what do we have for the final one on this list?
Tron, which I think their anniversary was today, I think.
According to your
your
social media, I saw that. So, I was like, I think we're talking about that.
We are. So another one that wasn't, I think it was semi-successful for its time, but obviously not what Disney wanted to. That was going to kind of blow everything out of the water, but yeah, so it was a big deal at the time, and computers and pre-war games. It was kind of verging on that. Were pre-Superman 3 to
my gosh,
going to be the death of us all.
So, and Tron still holds up. It's still a fun movie. I still like it. I enjoy it.
It is, and especially if you look. I mean, you. Now all those effects would be just done in a day probably, but what they had to do back then, shooting in black and white, I think Super 70 or something like that, and then more or less hand painting all that
in. Frame by frame.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
It was like doing like a Roger Rabbit or something where they have to like frame by frame draw it in. It's crazy. Not to mention,
looks great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's time consuming, but it does look great. It does hold up, and it's a fun movie. But this is a solid list. 82 was a good year for summer blockbusters. Yeah, summer
Can you imagine? I don't know what the exact dates, but you know, 10 weeks of each of these, a different weekend. You're like, this is the best time in our lives.
Yeah, this is the best summer ever.
Yeah. Every summer will be like this.
You were a lucky kid to be alive at that time.
I do feel lucky, so.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of great gems in the movie theater.
And it's memorable in the theater.
It's memorable.
Yeah.
And finally, we have Blind Man's Bluff.
And
it has been chosen, Robert. And
all right.
I'm going to start off something different. I'm actually going to read the description.
All right.
And the name of the movie is in this description, so it's not going to work as well as I thought.
Oh, you could take it out and see if I can fill in the blank. Maybe.
Okay. All right. So, listeners, this is where we randomly pick a location on Robert's website. We're going to go through the pictures. Robert's going to recap for us. And the description is, the first name of movie, blank, did pretty well and garnered the prequel that is actually better, in my opinion. So I'm not giving you much there.
I was Ouija?
You were absolutely correct, sir.
All right.
You were absolutely correct. Very good job. Ouija, Origin of Evil, is 2016.
Gotcha. This house, and I remember when I saw the trailer, I think I did right when the trailer came out, I did a thing because I had been at this house before. For the house was used in Phantasm 2.
Which, by the way, they shared your post this week.
Oh, the Phantasm?
Phantasm Instagram account shared something.
That's nice. Yeah. Oh, I did see that. Yeah. But yeah, so I recognized this house immediately. And did you see this one, Ouija or Origin of Evil? Or
This is the sequel?
Prequel. Part 2, but prequel.
Haven't seen it.
Oh, so I think it's probably...
You like it?
I did like it, yeah. So Henry Thomas is in it. So where's the... This is a great little place in Pasadena. And it looks almost as is. It's kind of an old pharmacy that they kind of reconverted. But you can see they really didn't have to do too much set dressing. Just add in some stuff. But it's a fun little place. I think it's just down the street from the Rialto, if I remember right.
Oh, okay.
And that's where she buys a Ouija board. And this is the school.
This is in Sierra Madre.
It is.
Where is that, by the way?
The address is up there. Let me see.
No, I mean, where is Sierra Madre?
Oh, it's kind of farther east. If you know, past Arcadia, if you kind of the next largest place over. So, I was out there for. I think it's before Monrovia, between Arcadia and Monrovia, if I remember right. So,
but so it's Sierra still near LA.
It is. Yeah. So have you? We should go to Sierra Madre next time.
Yeah.
Because that's where they shot. Halloween 2, 3. Halloween 3, Halloween, Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, The Fog.
Yeah, that's where we got to go.
Yes, so it's everything was shot there. This restaurant is downtown. And Warner Brothers Ranch for the driving shots, because of course it's easier to take advantage of. you can see the Griswold house behind her, or the Lethal Weapon house. I can't quite tell.
This one right here?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
That's usually pretty recognizable, but yeah.
Here's you with the great Henry Thomas.
Henry Thomas.
Which show was this at?
This is Horror Hound, probably a couple years ago or so. So I can't remember what he was there for. So.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. He was probably there for Ouija, right?
Yeah, who else? Yeah. What else would he be there for?
No, he's not.
Has had a great career, I guess, resurgence in the past.
He has.
Yeah.
He was in Sons of Liberty, which is like one of my favorite TV shows. Series, yeah, and he played John Adams, and he did a great job.
Nice, yeah. So I think he kind of came into his own. So
Lynn Shay, the great Lynn Shay.
Yeah, I only met her that one time, but
really,
yeah, she's some type of Texas horror convention. You can tell I'm younger. I have no glasses.
Pre-glasses,
yeah. When and I could see.
Did Rockstar give you this hat at the event?
I did not, but
it's a cool hat.
With the R with my name, I thought it always just kind of.
Yeah, worked. Yeah, yeah. No, it works. I like it. Do people know they paid Robert $10 million to wear that hat for 2 years.
And I'm looking in the picture. Obviously, I was trim enough that I'm wearing my original 1987 Dream Warriors t-shirt.
Oh, there he is. There's Freddie.
From when I was 17, could still fit into that shirt.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Where's the shirt now? Do you still have it?
It's in storage.
Yeah.
If I ever get trim enough again, I'll put it on. So
you're on your way.
You saw what I ate tonight, so no.
You're right. It doesn't matter, Robert. You can always bounce back whenever you want.
Thanks. So I'll just more Diet Coke. That's all I need.
Oh, by the way, yeah, Robert really turned me on Diet Coke. I mean, I've had it in my life, obviously, but it's good. There's no sugar, no calories. What's stopped? No caffeine, right?
Enough sodium for a year in one bottle.
There really was a lot of sodium. I think it was like 13 grams or something.
It is ridiculous, I know.
It was a lot. It's a lot of sodium. It's a lot
nothing.
Of sodium.
Yep.
You probably never sweat, though, right? All your water is being retained inside your stomach.
Yeah, it's all right here. So set jetting and Diet Coke. That's all you need. Oh,
I love it, though. But it is good, though. You really did turn me on to Diet Coke. And I'm fascinated that you drink as much as you do in a day.
I know. I have an issue. So
no, it's wonderful. But this was a good Summer of 82. Are we going to do Summer of 83 next?
I don't know. Yeah, at some point, maybe we should. I'm not sure. We'll be curious to how it, you know, we used to do what we call it. We'd go through each year and stuff like that, but we never did seasons. So, but right. I was just thinking, I think I was looking at something because obviously this is the 40, it'll be 40 years. I'm like, wow, this summer had so much going for it. It was just crazy.
It's incredible that this many, these great films were released in like 10 weeks.
Just think of Summer of 87, Jaws the Revenge, and
Superman 4, A Quest for Peace.
Oh, see, Masters of the Universe.
I do like summer. Masters of the Universe.
I have a big soft spot for that film.
You do?
I love Masters of the Universe. And I was 17 at the time, so I was way too old. I never watched any of the Masters of the Universe cartoons or anything, but I was working in a movie theater at the time, so that movie kind of grew on me. Cleaning up after.
Yeah, it like worked for you.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear my theory on Jaws 4?
Yes.
Here's why Jaws 4 is not. Here's why it's just so bad. I'm not going to even pick apart the movie itself. We all know that. It's not good enough to where it's so bad it's good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's movies that are so bad they're good. You're like, this is enjoyable. Let's watch it. Like, for example, the scene Garbage Day, that movie. It's just not the movie, but that scene is just so ridiculous. It's great. You're going to watch it. You love it. Jaws 4 doesn't have anything like that in it. And it's not so bad it's good. And they recycle so much old footage from Jaws 1. And it's just so implausible. The shark follows him to the Bahamas. It floats. Oh, I remember, like, the shark floats on the water. Like, sharks can't
float.
It
roars.
It roars. Sharks don't have vocal cords. It's just so bad. I don't know who, like, looked at that post and said, like, we got it.
This is it.
This is it.
This is the one.
I mean, it has 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. Zero.
No. Oh.
Like, not one person ever wrote a good review about it, ever.
And I saw it opening night.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think? Not knowing anything.
Another Jaws in the theater? Yeah, I was excited. And then I remember right away, because remember the opening credits, I'm like, they had the weird Jaws font. I'm like, what? You couldn't even get the Jaws logo right? Like, it was just...
Yeah, it is weird.
And kind of going up and down the water. And then I kind of got what they're trying to... You know, they're trying to do this juxtaposition of kids singing Christmas carols and the death of a person we just met, even though he's supposed to be a legacy character. And we're like, which was supposed to be, I think, Roy Scheider. They wanted him to do it, which that would have been more emotional, of course, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't imagine Roy Scheider with his arm gone, going, you know, like. Lorraine Gary was kind of acting weird.
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
It
she didn't even really want to be there.
The fear killed him.
Well, there's... Right, the fear of the shark gave him a heart attack. It wasn't because he hated his contract and wasn't doing this movie again. But do you remember when she kills the shark? There's an alternate scene where the shark blows up.
Yes.
There was no way ramming a fish with the wooden bow of a boat or the stern would make an explosion with pyrotechnics. But when she's doing that, she's thinking in her head. Remember, like, she has the memories and she remembers, like, Brody, like, smile, you son of a bitch, and all that stuff. And in Jaws 2, she wasn't there for that stuff. She wouldn't have any visual memory of him with the gun on the boat on the orca.
I imagine that her husband told her every night, and she like, oh, my God, stop talking about
Oh, my. Yeah, she was killing Roy Scheider in her head. Like, I don't care about these stories anymore.
Yeah, and in her mind, she's blowing up Roy, like, and she's like, it's her. They should, you know what they should have done? They should have just put her in that same sepia tone with the, you know.
Oh, the sepia, yeah, sepia memories. And what's Michael Caine's character name? He has a funny Hoagie. Name, like Popcorn. Hoagie. What is it?
Hoagie.
Hoagie. Popcorn. Hoagie. His name's Hoagie. Come on, get on the plane. I'll fly over there.
Yeah, like, I'll take you there. You know.
Not to mention Amity Island on that kind of plane to the Bahamas, where, you know, well, he flies her back. Amity Island's supposed to be like Martha's Vineyard.
I think he was just taking her to a different airport, I guess.
Like an airport, okay.
An airport, yeah.
He wasn't really taking her up the eastern seaboard.
And she was, I remember the first thing she's on the plane, she could not be bothered. She looked like she stepped out of Beverly Hills, you know, with her sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, too cool for school.
Yeah, this Amity Island bee. You're like, she's like, geez, sweet lady. Thought it was frigid up in Long Island, but nothing compared to it.
Hoagie. I love that you remember the name.
Oh, how could you not? Could you forget Hoagie?
You like Jaws 4, don't you?
No. I mean, here's the thing. The banana boat scene's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's kind of, that's the only scene I think that truly works.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, the other. Yeah, cast-wise, it doesn't quite work. Plot-wise, of course, it doesn't. And
right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Plot-wise, it doesn't.
And you probably was like, well, how could... There's not one thing that you could fix to say, oh, they should just have done this and it would have made more sense. There's literally so many missteps in the scripts, more or less, that it didn't make sense. But
no, I could listen to you talk about Jaws 4 all day and your hatred of Jurassic Park, The Lost World, all day.
Sarah. It's just fun.
Sarah. Do you remember the banana boat scene, though? The people on the beach start running and screaming. It's like, you're on the beach. You don't have to run. Like, the shark can't walk. They start, like, running. And you're like, where are you going?
Well, because they have to go save the people, you know.
Right.
And I like, you talked about that. I vividly remember the behind the scenes. Because, you know, like the networks would have a, you know, making of Jaws 4, you know, like a week before. And I remember them filming the scene of the lady running up to the beach. Like, she's like, oh, my God. And, you know, get out of the water. So, but and I think they showed almost that scene, the making of. And so that's why, one, it's out of all everything that has the most visuals that you remember of that poor lady, nameless lady.
On the banana boat.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, it was like Margaret's mother or something, right?
I don't even think it was. I think, and she just blames Leah. Is that her kid's
name?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like,
she goes right down.
Yeah, and it's like, it's all because of that girl, that little girl ruined it. That killed that lady. Hope you're happy.
Brody's, I hope she enjoys the guilt for the rest of her life. Did you leave the movie theater knowing it was bad, or like?
Oh yeah.
Did you?
Because
when you're younger, sometimes you think movies are great.
Yeah,
but then
I was 17 at that point, so I knew what was going on.
Okay.
And I was just like, this is BS. And I still remember, I think, I'm pretty sure it was a choice between opening night of Jaws or the sneak preview. Don't hold this against me. Or sneak preview of The Lost Boys.
Oh, real? Wow. You picked right.
I picked Jaws.
You know what, though? But you had no idea of knowing.
I didn't know.
Lost Boys could have been anything. And another entry in Jaws in that year would have been like another Jurassic Park in like 2002. Yeah. Like, of course you're going to go see it.
Yeah, you don't know. You know, trailers are deceiving and you're like, oh, and I was like, Lorraine Gary's coming back. It's got to be good. You know,
right. Lorraine Gary. It's
like
she...
Nancy coming back to Dream Warriors.
Yeah, you saw Dream Wars theatrically, right?
Oh, I did a couple times. Yeah,
in the theater.
Nothing.
So you were of age to go see those kind of movies.
I just was of age. Yeah.
Before we go, do you want to watch the banana boat scene real quick?
Well, why not?
I just need to see you watching just the banana boat scene.
Just see my reaction. To see, and I'll be like, oh, it's not like I thought it was.
That's all. let me do a quick test here just to make sure you can hear this. Because this is really amazing. All right. Can you hear sound?
No.
Okay. I know what I did wrong here. I'm just amazing that somebody saw this theatrically on opening night. You should be a celebrity for that alone.
I will tell you exactly what it was like to watch.
Are you hearing anything?
Oh, my God. Oh. That lady's like, are you kidding?
There's no propeller on that boat. Oh, I see. Okay. Amazing.
So there's some good visuals there.
Yeah. There's not bad underwater photography in Jaws 4. No, I mean, there's some good...
There's good pieces, and I love how it's like it's noon in the water, but it's 5:30 on the shore. You can tell by the sun, you know.
Like, oh my gosh, you're right. It's noon in there, and on the shore, it's like closing to dusk.
You're like, we're running out of light. Like,
oh my gosh, you're so right.
I still like, yeah. So out of literally, that's the only scene that in this movie that I think works.
Right. It's I think that needs to be a segment going forward. We pick a random scene at the end of each show, and I just want to see your reaction to this stuff. It's great.
I think I know what the next one should be.
It's going to be Sarah?
It's going to be? No, I was thinking Mac and Me.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
It's the perfect scene for that movie.
That's a scary movie, though.
It's creepy.
I mean, it's creepy, the scenes with, like, the older aliens and stuff.
Oh,
but it makes you want to go get a Big Mac, like, no other.
No other.
Yeah, the advertising works.
Oh, my goodness.
That'll be our show tonight, Robert. Do you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I think Thea is enough to...
After Jaws the Revenge, it kind of ruined the weekend for you. I'm sorry.
You beat that.
But thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast of Set Jetter Saturdays. And as always, check out Robert's site at setjetter.com. And we will see you on the set. Good night.